One day, my daughter said to me, "I can't stay quiet, my mouth wants to talk." And I couldn't wait to hear what came out of it next. We don't spend enough time telling stories or listening to those of the people who shape the world we live in. Here are real stories of the eclectic cast of characters I've collected in my menagerie of weirdos. They're brave just like you, and they deserve to be listened to. I'm Sam Jenny, and this is Everyone's Weird, and So Are You. Hi, weirdos. I'm Sam Jenny from Everyone's Weird and So Are You podcast.
And I'm Ronan Daly from that same podcast.
Obviously.
We're available on all major streaming platforms and YouTube, which you probably know because you're hearing my voice say these words.
Nice. Good observation. You can find all links to anything that we are including in this in our description, as well as in the comments. On any platform that we're broadcasting on, which are all available platforms, which you know by the words that I'm speaking right now.
Excellent. And just to follow up from that, if you want to find those links, they are available in the description for this audio or video presentation. The one that you're hearing now
or seeing
and hearing.
If you're hearing it and you want to see it, you go to YouTube. If you're seeing it and want to hear it, go to like Spotify, Audible, Google, Apple.
Or just close your eyes. You're already getting audio on the YouTube. So just, I don't know. Figure it out, Jeff. Okay?
Jeff, work your life out.
I can't hold your hand forever.
G-E-O-F-F. G-E-O-F-F. G-E-O-P-H. Do you think there's a Jeff out there named G-E-O-P-H?
This was Sam's fun fact of the week. Jeff. Sometimes it's spelled weird.
Yeah, that's it. There we go. Yeah, no, my random weird fact of the week, though, as you should bring it up, is that I have, right now, as of August 10th, a kindergartner, which is the first year in elementary school. But in the United States of America, in the state of Nebraska, the first year of middle school is sixth grade. So I have a kindergartner, first year elementary, first year in middle school, and I have a freshman, which is a first year in high school, all entering their classes on the same day.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm freaking out.
How surreal is that?
I feel really old and terrified and completely out of control.
Well, if it helps, you only look really old. You don't look terrified and out of control. So
thank you. That's really nice of you to say. Really appreciate that. So let's just like take that really large compliment, not at all an insult, and segue it into.
Here's an interesting one for you. Again, it's another animal fact. You know how much we like those. Did you know that the koala bear isn't really a bear? It's a legume.
No, it's not a bean.
No, it's not a bear. It's a legume.
That's a bean.
No, bear. B-E-A-R. That's an or, Sam. Koala bear.
Yeah, but you said it's a legume.
There's no such thing as a koala bean.
The koala bear is not a bean.
Yeah, it's not a bear. No, I never said it was a bean. I said it's not a bear.
Legumes are beans.
It's also not a bean.
I don't believe you. I just want to
actually, while all beans are legumes, not all legumes are beans, and koalas are neither bears nor beans. They're legumes.
I disagree.
Thanks very
with
much
that
for tuning
fact.
In to Everyone's Weird, and So Are You.
I'm going to go ahead and counter that fact with an actual fact. Do poppy seeds cause positive drug tests? The next time you enjoy a slice of poppy seed cake with ice cream, you can say, "This will go straight to my hips and perhaps straight to my urine for a positive drug test in a lab." Because, depending on what test you take, simply eating one poppy seed bagel can lead to a positive result. That's a fact.
For heroin.
I don't think it doesn't really say. Were you chasing the dragon or chasing a complete? Were you chasing the dragon or chasing a complete breakfast?
Nice. Yeah. No, Heron. That's true. That is true.
It doesn't really say what it will test positively for, but I know that. Additionally, hair testing can help to clarify which type of morphine is detected. So I have a morphine.
Morphine bagel.
Morphine bagel. Ooh, new restaurant name. Okay, so
I mean, new anything name, new podcast name, new band
morphine
name,
bagel, morphine bagel. Name. Yeah, it's, morphine bagel.
It works across the board.
New baby name, morphine bagel.
When they decide to give Twitter another name that isn't just a X. random letter of the alphabet, morphine bagel.
Morphine bagel. That's going to be a good one. That's perfect. I love it.
Patent pending.
Speaking of how patents work. Giving people names and words in the English language, we're going to
speaking
call...
of things.
Segway. What's up? We're going to call my friend, John Flanagan. He was in college with me as music education major, but he actually changed majors, and we're going to get him on the phone. You're going to like him a lot. I have a feeling you guys are both going to annoy the hell out of me together. Let's do this. Okay.
I do not see how that could possibly be the case.
Trust me, it's going to be the case.
I do not see how that could be the case.
I see what you're trying to do there with the word Nazi.
Did your phone just respond to the word Nazi and call someone?
Yes!
Not really selling your own case here.
Sam, Sam has a Nazi not just on speed dial, but on voice-activated speed dial.
John? Hello?
Oh, he hung up. He's over it.
Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, John.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Ronan, my co-host. I don't know even when the last time I saw you was. Probably like 2007?
Yeah, maybe? It would have been about that time. The old Carney house.
That's a long time. That's a really long time. That's forever. Lifetime. I can't even do that math. What is that, like 85 years?
You're asking, I'm an English teacher, as we discussed.
Yeah.
I said no math in the pre-interview, Sam.
Sorry, my bad. My bad. So no, we met this is John Flanagan, for everybody watching. We met in college at University of Nebraska at Kearney. And we were in music education together. We had a lot of classes together, right?
Yeah. You know, all the music nerds just hang out in the music building all
yeah,
the time.
Pretty much, yeah. We have this, yeah. I just want to reference this right away because it's so great. But we had this iconic picture because we were like part of Facebook right when Facebook became a thing. When you could only be like with your school, you know, remember that? And then they branched out to other schools and we're like, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden your grandma could be on there and you're like, what are you doing even more now? I don't want my grandparents to see this.
Yeah.
But we traded hats and I totally forgot to grab the hat, Josh.
You know, which hat is
same.
It?
Same.
About 19 times before this interview, Sam made reference to this hat.
I know.
And it's the
dang
one.
It.
Yeah.
Right out. No.
We'll have to get the hats. We'll get the hats. Okay. It's okay.
Okay.
We'll get the hats.
Yeah, for all our listeners out there who are really excited to hear you trying on different hats, which are similar, but not identical.
No, mine is the actual hat. John's isn't, but it's
I know. I messed up. I remembered the wrong hat. As I left the house,
it's the white one, with the poofy ball on top. See, I'm describing it for the listeners. So
can we just
like
CG to add mine?
We need some CGI for our hats. Just put on your
green
screen
CG
hat.
In the hats.
Maybe like an Iron Man suit while we're at it.
Just... There we go. Nice. I like it. Oh yeah. Okay, this is my hat. I got it. See, I had it the whole time.
Yeah.
It was here the whole time. Remember this hat?
I do. I couldn't find that picture either, so I'm
honestly,
excited
like
to see the reference here.
Okay, so for the listeners who can't see what's going on here right now, Sam currently looks slightly like a melting ice cream cone. That's about the best description I've got for this hat.
That was a pretty good one. I'm going to keep it on there.
A melting ice cream cone. Sounds so so poetic in your Irish accent there, Rowan.
Doesn't it? Everything does.
Yeah, people in Ireland would very strongly disagree that I have an Irish accent, but
you're not from Omaha, Nebraska, so.
Yeah.
So you do to him. Speaking of Irish, Ronan has a question about your last name and your red hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, John, given that you're, I mean, Sam basically just asked this question because she's been dying for someone to ask this question. But let's try and make this sound candid for, you know, for the sake of performance.
Sure.
So, John, I can't help but notice your last name Flanagan and your naturally red lustrous beard there. You wouldn't happen to be of somewhat Irish descent, would you?
Indeed I am. I am mostly genetically Irish. I can't really claim it culturally.
I'm very sorry.
That's where this body comes from. It's gorgeous.
Do you have the deep sense of shame that most Irish people have?
Oh, well, that's the Catholic component. I guess it's kind of, they go together. It though. Is. And I do indeed, so.
Okay, nice. Okay, good.
Nice. Yeah, and to your point about not being 100% Irish, who is? Who is? We,
and you know. What does that even mean, right? I mean.
Yeah. It's like if the price of gas goes up like 5 cents, half this country just emigrates to Australia.
Right,
marries a bunch of Thai women and then just comes back, and that's how it works.
I was unaware of the situation in my motherland, so that's good to know. Oh, can I come? Can I immigrate there?
You can immigrate here if you want, but you're going to get a lot of dirty looks from the women outside the church on Sunday, thinking, who is this lad now? He's not Helen's young lad, is he? No, I don't think so. No.
Those Flanagans. I wonder what our reputation is.
He's not from around here.
Yeah. Damn, not cool.
I knew you two would annoy me together. I knew it. I called that before this started. So they're gonna gang up on me. It's going to be terrible. Speaking of ganging up on me, weird segue, but I'm going to go with it. I used to live below you, but this was after the incident in which I partied at your house. As a freshman in college, you had a trampoline in your yard. And I jumped on it one jump, and somebody else jumped on it. I'm pretty sure it was you. Was it you?
It could have been. Who remembers? The details
you
are
you dead in the trampoline, legal, and I came down.
For legal purposes, I have no memory.
Yeah, but you I'm pretty sure it was you. You came down and dead in the trampoline, and right as I was coming down, so then I, like, broke my ankle, and I was in a boot and in a cast, on crutches forever.
Yeah.
And then I ended up living at that house in the basement underneath you and, like, 4 to 5 other guys at any given time.
Very brave. You faced your trauma. Immersion therapy. You lived in the same house that tried to take away your leg.
I don't believe that.
Don't you hate that when
there.
Like an animal just gets like injured in your yard and just like crawls under your house to like lick its wounds? That is
what happened over the course of years.
Like some kind of rabid rodent just.
That's kind of how that apartment was. It was really cool though. Like you remember? Did you ever go down there?
Yeah.
You walked into the bathroom and you stepped up to the toilet and then back down into the shower.
I was going to mention that. Your toilet was on like a stage. I don't know how else to describe it, which raises other questions.
All the world's a stage, Sean. You know that. You're in music.
But the webcam quality sucked. So
in those days, it was the Wild West. That's true. A lot of pixelating, a lot of freezing.
I actually loved that apartment. That was fun. You guys were so sweet to me, too. It was great.
You moved in down there, that basement apartment looked like the set of Saw. But you somehow made it very warm and nice, and it was a fun place to hang out after you moved in. So
good. I'm glad that I did that.
You transformed it. It was shocking.
That's terrifying.
So anyone looking to cover up a horrendous crime, Sam Jenny, interior decorator to the monstrously psychotic.
I'm gonna get you back one of these days. I'm gonna have to write it. I'm not as witty as you are. So you went to UNK for, you said, 6 years, right? You were in music education with me for 3 of those years, but then you switched. Why'd you switch?
Early on, I was in the honors program, so all the nerds were taking their core classes together. So I was in a bunch of kind of honors English classes. And we all lived in, you know, the honors dorm, which is not as nerdy or boring as it sounds. But sure. A cool thing about that was we would do homework together all the time and, you know, study and everything.
That wasn't nerdy.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, like a couple nights a week, maybe it was nerdy. Okay. Yeah, it was very nerdy. You caught me. I'm busted. But I just I hit a point where I was really helping people all the time write and revise essays and kind of teach them how to write. Not just like fixing grammar, but like really digging in on the writing process. And I just kept taking, I loved it. I just kept taking more English classes way beyond what was required to the point where it was kind of getting in the way of music. And then finally, Dr. Lusher, who was one of my teachers, just started writing on papers like, come to the dark side, join English. And I was finally like, yeah, you're right. It's time. Plus, I hit a point after 3 years where I was kind of starting to hate music, which is not something I wanted because I love music probably more than anything. And I really realized I wanted it to just be a hobby and fun for me, which is what it's been ever since. So
yeah, speaking of that, you played the trumpet, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Are you still playing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember, you're really good.
Thank you. That's nice.
What are you playing in now? Like what ensembles are?
I'm in a band in Omaha here with some friends of mine called All Young Girls Are Machine Guns. That's kind of the main project. We're nice. At any given point, a between 5 and 10 piece soul band, basically.
Oh, that's really cool, actually. I like the name, too.
Yeah, it's a full sentence, complete sentence.
It is a complete sentence.
I mean, I feel like it's the first half of a name, and I feel like you do need to finish it with all young girls are machine guns, but not all machine guns are young girls.
That is true. That is accurate.
Expand it out.
For anyone confused out there, that is the case.
He has a very good point on that. That's really cool. I'm glad you're still playing. Yeah, I remember you were really good. That's why I was so surprised when I found out that you came to the dark side or whatever. But yeah, you did 6 years then in college at UNK, correct? And then where did you go to school? Because I know you have your master's.
Yeah, in 2013, I started working on my master's at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. So part of the same system.
So speaking of Omaha, why Omaha? How'd you move there? How'd you end up there?
I was born in Omaha.
Okay.
In South Omaha specifically, which might mean a lot if you're from here and probably nothing if you're not. And I just, lived there up until I went to Kearney and then came straight back. I live right, the first house we bought, my wife and I, is about 3 blocks from the house I grew up in, which my mom still lives in.
That's crazy.
She actually picked it out. I was not pushing to move back there, but she loved the neighborhood too when she was down there a little bit, so.
You know what's nuts is that the house I grew up in is a block and a half away from the house I live in Kearney.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, we did trade souls. It seems
when that's we right. Hats. We just have the same soul.
Yeah, same one.
I mean, so interestingly, the house I'm living in now is halfway across the country from the house I was living in when I was born, which is also about 15 minutes.
I was going to say
so
this.
That's yeah. So interesting coincidence.
Yeah.
So
small island.
Just to circle back a little bit to your time studying English, you know, not to put you in the hot seat, but something of an English aficionado myself. So pop quiz, John.
Oh, no.
Name a verb.
Name a verb? Oh. Should we go with name?
In this context, well done.
In this,
well done.
Usually a noun in this context of verb.
Boom,
you cagey son of a bitch. Well played.
Central today. Yeah.
Nice. So, you've been teaching English for a while. You're actually the head of the English department at that. Where are you teaching?
I started at Omaha Central High School in 2009. I really as a student teacher for the first semester. I hit the jackpot at that time and got hired then for the second semester and I actually kept all the classes I had student taught, which is unheard of.
That's crazy. Really lucky. Good for you. Well, I'm not surprised, but that's awesome.
And an important question about that, as you know, someone who came up as a student teacher, how many times over the course of this did you actually get to use the phrase, you know, they say I'm supposed to be teaching these kids, but really, they're teaching me.
I've only done that once. Actually, it was right when I started my master's. The reason I started my master's was because the department head at the time had encouraged me. She wanted me in the position of teaching AP classes for dual enrollment, which means you have to have, to teach dual enrollment, you have to actually have a, what we call a content degree. So I needed an actual lit degree to teach that class. And we don't have many teachers with those content degrees for a lot of reasons. But anyway, the first class I took with the guy who was turned out to be the guy who ran dual enrollment and was just talking to me about the dual enrollment program. And, you know, I was young at the time, and I just kind of threw that out there to see if he would find it funny. And he did not laugh at that line. I don't think he could tell if I was joking or not. So but only once to answer your question. But it is true.
He did use it. I mean, that's great.
It's absurd. If you don't say it like that, it is true. I mean,
what are you even doing? So the master's then in not just English, but literature specifically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Question two. Name three books.
You got me there. I can't. That's some reference. You know, I've actually never read a whole book, so that's the dirty secret.
I was going to just ask, what are like your top three favorite books of all time?
Oh, my God. That's so hard.
I know. It's like me with songs.
Okay, let me think. Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut comes to mind because that's really what broke me into reading and kind of blew my mind. I read that on my own in high school. I think when I was about a junior, really kind of stunned me that you could talk about something like World War II in that way. It's very deceptively simple. It's absurd. There's, you know, time-traveling aliens. talking about how we're not, the universe isn't really confined to three dimensions. But also that it was in a way a memoir of his time as a prisoner of war in Dresden, Germany, which was firebombed, and burned to the ground. So like the you could kind of, he dealt with that trauma and that huge issue of the war and America's role in the war, with just so much just absurdity and sci-fi and comedy. I just like couldn't, it was amazing to me. I'd never seen anything like that. So that's kind of what got me into books, like really into books. Oh, man. I think Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass, huge. Mm-hmm. I didn't read that till the very end of my master's degree. It just completely blew my mind. If you don't know, briefly, it's a collection of poems, most of the poetry he wrote in his life. And he just kept revising it. He put it out like the first, I should know. Let me preface this. We had a baby a year ago. It had all the details. My ability to retain details just gone. I used to know.
You have mom brain. Congratulations.
I do have mom brain because I've been mom all summer. Like, just my only job is to keep the baby alive while she crawls all over, climb stairs, throw things. Anyway, so my details are all gone. But Whitman, I'm guessing early 20s when he put out the first edition. And he revised it over and over again in the course of his life. I want to say 7, maybe 9 times. I should know again.
Jesus.
Come last on, time, Walt. Very, just very commit. Old man, especially for the time period. What's that?
Just commit, Walt. Get it done, okay?
Get his life.
If you're not sure, don't publish it, jackass.
That book is him. I mean, he saved his essence. He distilled his essence in that book. He's alive today. I believe it's because of that book. I've never seen anything else like that. Even at the end, one of the final poems, he breaks the fourth wall, and he talks about how you, the reader, are like holding him in your hands. And it gets a little creepy at a point. Like, yeah. You're caressing him as you turn the page, but it's just, it's mind-blowing. How do you do that? It's incredible.
Oh, yeah, some would say mind-blowing. I just think lazy, I think. Like, I'd love to just keep putting up first drafts and pretending there's something meaningful behind it.
Dude, but, just keep selling the same book. Like the Beatles are just repackaged and somehow continue to sell after 60 years. Don't Sam, I saw you caressing your giraffe there when I was talking about Leaves of Grass. So have you imprisoned someone's soul in that plastic giraffe?
Not yet.
Okay. Wait, is that me? Am I the target?
Someone in this vicinity is the target. I'm not going to say who. It's definitely not Danny DeVito, though.
Now I'm looking at every item in your room. They're wondering whose soul is trapped in it. So somebody's a lamp, somebody's a phone, a little Fisher Price
bubbles.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah,
that's kind of ethereal. They might actually get out over time.
Yeah. You pop sometimes. It's great. You get to float through the air and just. Woo. So third favorite book.
I think I'm gonna go with. I might have this one handy. Let me see. Oh, I do. Okay, good. Oh, man. Okay, my name and old classroom number are on here. So you could ignore this, but this is a book called Borderlands La Frontera by Gloria Anzaldúa. I'm going to put that up here. Also, a book I discovered in my graduate program, and again, very experimental form. I guess that's kind of the common thread here, kind of breaking what you think of as a novel or a book. But she's an American from Texas. who was born in a very small town in the Magic Valley on the border and only spoke Spanish until she was like six. And then she went to school and was kind of not allowed to speak Spanish in that setting, was kind of forced out of her as she learned English. But anyway, she went on to, I mean, basically, it's sort of a memoir. It's a combination of like memoir history. There's a lot of great poetry. She's a great poet in there. Just kind of all just sort of intermingled together. It's called Borderlands. One of the things she does is break down the borders between what we think of as these genres. She describes it as like a mosaic or a collage, the entire piece. Anyway, she was also gay, on top of being what we would now say Latina in kind of the white spaces of education. She worked with, she's a high school teacher, high school English teacher, got in trouble for trying to teach Chicano literature, which was often in English, but by virtue of the fact that the authors weren't white, was disciplined, fired, I think, at one point. Eventually became a college professor, I think, at the University of Texas. Again, details gone. Wow. Could have told you 4 years ago, 2 years ago even. But was very successful as a college professor there, and kind of invented, I guess, what in humanities now we would call like Latino literary studies, or Chicana literary studies, and also like queer lit. So she's kind of the architect of what are now huge just portions of
she's like truly borderless, like on all fronts, like just completely just.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That was
kind of her goal, and to just kind of show how everything is unified. It's almost like an acid trip at the end, but like we're all part of the state. It's all the same, you know.
Ego death. Let's do it.
Exactly.
Just so you know, John, all these references to different ethnicities and sexual orientation, Sam is going to make sure this is cut out before
I see that. No CRT. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. I will get you.
How you doing, Sam?
Okay. I know that's a trigger for you, Sam.
I should never told you. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of kids, because you said you had a baby. And yeah. You know, her name's Lucy, which I love. She's a year old?
Yeah, like almost 14 months now. So oh, just wow. Over.
So is she standing yet, walking, anything like that?
She can stand. She crawls really quickly. She can, I'm told the term is cruising, which means she can stand and like have a hand on a piece of furniture and kind of walk around as long as there's something to grip.
It's like I kind of want to get her
a little cane, a little ornate cane she can cane around, but... Yeah,
little very fast band.
All over the place. Yeah, it's still not baby proofed at all. I don't know. Well, that's not true. We have a system. The system is empty Amazon boxes that have piled up are placed in front of things we don't want her to mess with.
That's a brilliant system. It's recycling the same process. Right. Like, that's great. That's awesome.
And she hits it. She loves the box. She forgets she was trying to dig in something that she could choke on.
Yeah, and you were trying to be environmentally conscious, is what I think you're trying to say.
Does that offend you as well?
That way. Yes.
Right. And also, capitalism.
This is very offensive.
So, awesome.
Yeah, so, do you have a babysitter today, then?
Yes, my mom, who, like I said,
lives... Hi, John's mom. What's John's mom's name?
Debbie.
Debbie, thank you Shout for letting out to us Debbie. Talk to John. It's a fascinating conversation with your brilliant son. Appreciate you, Debbie. Wow. Hope you're appreciating your time with Lucy,
too. She just
too.
Shut it off. She just shut it off. She can't. Can't abide any of these lies in her podcast, so.
No, they're not lies. Are they, Danny? No. See, he's giving an oath the whole time.
Danny, raise your hand if you need help.
I don't see a hand.
He covered his hand. That was smooth.
I don't see a hand. So, speaking of your daughter, you know your wife, Sophie? She's from Omaha as well. Did you meet in college, or how'd you guys meet?
We met at a house party. Like all great romances begin.
And it all is great kind of late breakings begin.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
See?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Faded. Yep. So many faded house parties. It was unusual for a few reasons, just that, first of all, I was student teaching here at Central. So I was, you know, just super stressed out and tired and working all the time because student teaching is like the hardest thing you'll ever do as a teacher. Mm-hmm. But at the time, there was no stipend or payment for student teachers whatsoever. In fact, I was still going to owe UNK like $2,000 at the end of the semester. I didn't really have any money. Didn't want to go on any more loan debt than I already had. So I would student teach here for like, I probably put in like 50 hours a week You know, planning, grading, actually teaching, all that stuff. And then on from Friday night until Sunday night, I would split my time working between the zoo here, the famous Omaha Henry Dorley. Yes, thank you. I worked there forever. See, details, just gone. Yeah, Henry Dorley Zoo in Omaha. And then I would deliver pizzas for Pizza Hut at night. So I was working just like constantly. But I got invited. I ran into a friend downtown at one point. He invited me, probably at the zoo, actually. He invited me to this house party, which I would not have gone to because I was so exhausted. And you know, I was like closing down Pizza Hut that night. But the house party was at the house of a former teacher of mine. My like gifted and talented teacher from middle school was out of town. And her son, who I kind of knew, was just throwing this party at their house. So I had to go party at Ms. Deeb's house. Shout out to Claudia Deeb, an excellent educator.
Shout out to Debbie and Deebs.
There you go.
Debbie and Deebs. They should start a band.
Continue. They should.
or a detective agency.
Oh, yes. Man. Ooh. Why not both?
Why not but both? Poor Kane
break
lost
down
us.
Those borders.
Yes.
Like Gloria says. So, I went to this house party. Her son had gone to North, not South, where I went with. Again, if you're from Omaha, that means a lot. If you're not, it's meaningless. But, she was there because she knew him, and we met. And yeah, that was it. Just
talked all night. You met, and that was it.
Yeah, everybody else went to sleep. We stayed up all night talking. The sun came up. I walked home. It was near my house at the time. So I walked home, got in my car, went back to the zoo on no sleep, but high on Sophie. So I got through the zoo.
High on Sophie. Oh, title of your debut album. Your trumpet solo album.
You're right. So.
I remember seeing pictures of her on Facebook with you, and I was like, oh my gosh, she looks so happy. I was so happy for you. And you look so happy now, too. Sophie and Lucy, man, you got it made.
We are.
You got
just
it made
tired.
In the shade. Just
we're all
tired,
very tired,
right? Being a parent is so hard. Try having two more.
I can't even imagine. I think about
are
that
gonna, all, yeah. Are you going to have more kids?
I don't know. We actually were just talking about this yesterday. I feel like we'll probably do one. It'll be in a couple of years, though, so.
Yeah, space them out. Yeah. Trust me, space them out.
Oh, yeah, because so you want to have kids. You know, like, if you have them too close together, then you're only looking at 19 or 20 years. You really want, like, a good 27-year stint of no freedom whatsoever.
You're bumming me out, man. You're bumming me out, Robin.
He's Irish, so that's what they do.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm Irish and I'm childless. So
he's just going to confirm my darkest thoughts. That's perfect.
Yeah. That's how it goes. You typically with me every single day. I talk to him. It's great.
Awesome. Well, he's right in your case, though. So
why are you even here, Ronan?
I'm not here. I'm in Galway.
Oh yeah, you're not here. Okay, yeah. Okay. So what does Sophie do for a living again?
She's a communications person. She worked in UNO's communications department for years. She graduated.
I like how you phrase that because I already know what she does.
Right. Well, now I'm giving context here. This is important. for the last few years, she's been working for First National Bank of Omaha, which has a presence in a lot of places, especially in small town Nebraska. I know you're familiar then because they're all over Kearney.
Mm-hmm.
Huge bank. They, you know, occupy and own the tallest tower between, Minneapolis and Denver, probably, which is saying a lot, everybody, because if you've never been to the Midwest, it's nothing but giant towers, no open spaces at all.
And corn.
From my house, you could actually see the First National Bank of Omaha. It's like the biggest building in the city, actually. And you can see
Kearney?
It just across the field. Yeah, it's across Central Elementary's, like, field. So, like, right out of my bedroom window is First National Bank of Omaha, just right there. Boom.
And just, you know, I've never really thought about it before, but I guess corn is the skyscraper of vegetables. So
it is.
That's consistent.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless you're calling it the acacia leaf a vegetable, which it is to giraffes. Just saying. We have to be conscious of the giraffes.
If it's on a tree, then that doesn't really count, because no, that's foliage.
I'm out of my foliage.
Vegetation.
Yeah, it is. Teacher.
It is. Yeah, it's vegetation, which is not what we're talking about.
So what you're trying to say is that Sophie's a debt collector.
Right. Okay. So she works. I didn't get to that part yet. You're pushing me into that. She works in their collections department, which you know, you hear and you just imagine her like shaking people down. You know, busting.
I
you
bet
cap,
she's adorable.
Stealing,
she like
you know,
really
repossessing cars with like a shotgun. That'd be pretty sweet.
Old-timey bank robbery away, all hunched
collection,
over.
Though, hey, it sounds so so cheery and passive, exactly. You know? Collection. It's like, oh, I'm a collector, you know, mint condition, your house.
For the visual aspect, I could try something real quick. I don't know if it'll work, if you're down. I'm at my office at Central right now.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of in the shadow of this tower I just described. And the sky is just so ominous and full of, like, storm clouds right now. This might be an amazing shot. Let me see. I don't know if it'll show up. Let's see if we can make this happen.
Oh, whoa. I saw the clouds for a second.
There it is.
Oh, wow. Here's her tower from my office. That's where she works. She works in that building?
She's remote a lot of the time. When she goes in, she's in that building. Yeah. Kind of looking down on us. On us public educators here at the bottom.
Looking down on you. Does that...
Yeah.
Not to make you, like, speak on her behalf or anything, but does that ever come home with her? Does she ever have any instances where she, like, just hates her job, like she hates having to collect from people?
So that's the reason. So her position is new, is my understanding. They were looking for a person like her to bring in. And her job really, as I understand it, is... to look at, I guess, kind of like the actual language and approaches that department takes in trying to collect. So her job, as I see it, is kind of to soften that in the hopes of collecting more and not in like a horrible... not in a Dickensian debtor's printer or, you know, debtor's prison way, but in like a, hey, we can actually work with you. You have more options than you realize. If you just contact us, we can figure something out. So if she does her job well... it's actually a relief for the people that they're trying to contact. So.
That's awesome. Also, good for her. I knew she was smart based on her marrying you.
Let me say, First Central is a very ethical bank. They're awesome. I've banked with them my whole life. They're very proud of the fact they didn't collect any bailout money in 2008 when the financials crashed. They've really invested a lot in Omaha, in Central, in these small towns, even smaller than Kearney. So let me just get all that out there. It's a great bank.
Okay, and the red dot
sponsoring our podcast.
The red dot has disappeared from John's forehead. Snipers are standing down. All is well.
All right, let's really talk. No, they're great.
That's awesome.
Let's not just steam past that question though. That Sam asked. Yeah. So loaded. Does insert person here ever take their work home with them? Do they ever not love their job? I mean, you don't have to have the worst corporate job in the world to have a bad day or to not love your job every single moment.
Nice. But bring to be a target of many debt collectors, it was a hot button question for me. Just saying.
Hey, if you need any help, I'll ever talk to you. Maybe she can give you some advice.
Chapter 13, what's up?
I hope no one comes in and removes your... Are they going to come in and remove your mic in the middle of this?
Yeah.
I hope not. That's my mic.
Pay your bills, Josh.
Speaking of that, so why did you choose Omaha Central? Did you choose Omaha Central? Were you
Not... Well, okay. Yes and no. So
he didn't choose the thug life.
Thug life chose him.
Omaha Central chooses you, Sam. What's my tattoos? No, I'm not going to. There's no tattoos. Yeah. Anyway, that'd be a good podcast. That's good radio. That's good audio. Anyway, so, you know, of course, I went to UNK, and it's funny. They have a policy in Kearney, because the communities are much smaller, that you can't be placed to student teach at the high school you graduated from. I went to Omaha South, just like a mile down 24th Street, which is the neighborhood I still live in now. South Omaha, again, could mean a lot to you, maybe nothing. But I love that school, I love that community. I asked to be placed there, and a lot of the teachers I had were still there who I loved. And Kearney wouldn't let me, so they gave me some options, and I chose either Central or North, which are similar schools in some ways. And I was assigned to North. And, man, we really need more creative school naming around here.
Yeah.
North, Central, South.
North Omaha High School is the worst one, like, for violence and whatever. Central is the second, right? Am I right about that?
I don't think so. What do you mean by, okay, these are, like quantifiable. I would say
back in my time of student teaching.
Okay.
Back then, North Omaha was the worst. Then it was Omaha Central.
It has a scary reputation. which is largely unfounded, I think. But I don't know. Again, I would need to see some numbers.
I know you told me you hadn't seen any, like, much, like, you know, violence or threat of violence through the socioeconomically diverse school that you're in. Yeah.
Almost none. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to circle back to this whole point. So you were a student teacher in this inner city high school.
Yes.
Not getting paid for this. You were basically working three jobs.
Yeah.
Did your hips ever get sore from doing the backwards AC Slater sitting on chair, giving an inspirational speech to a class of uninspired youths?
You just got to teach through that pain, Ronan. That's the only way to reach them.
I know. It's tough, though.
You're not teaching them, and they're not teaching you. It's really the chair. You know, the chair's the medium that facilitates the learning.
I always
hated, though, whenever I would go into a class and be like, hey, you guys know who the original gangster rapper was? And they'd be like, oh, I think it was William Shakespeare. I'd be like, well...
That's right.
Oh, well, fuck you then. Class dismissed, because I was going to build up to that. That was like half an hour of vamping.
You just took it from me. Then you get him into Shakespeare. That's how you save lives.
Bob Dylan.
There's nothing worse than walking into a classroom and finding that they're already inspired. I hate that.
They're already. Okay, so where'd you go from where to Bob Dylan to Shakespeare?
I believe in Dangerous Minds, the progression is Tupac.
Tupac to Bob Dylan to Shakespeare.
To Shakespeare.
First what about Sister Act? Let's go Sister Act. Sister Act is.
Jesus?
Lauryn Hill to.
It's Jesus? To.
Ron is just trying not to get hit with a yardstick right now since he's in Ireland. I assume that the nuns still run that country.
I think they do. They just No.
We've chased as many of them back into the convents as we can. No worries.
like St. Patrick's.
On their tiptoes, so they can look as tall as normal.
Brandishing torches in our left hands out of sheer defiance.
Potatoes in their pockets, in their inner jacket pockets, so they can't be stolen.
Oh. As long as we're going to be douchey about it here, I actually have these portraits in my office. We've got Walt Whitman. They're not in order, but Walt Whitman, Kendrick Lamar there, so that's my own little Tupac moment.
Nice.
Oh, he's a great poet. There's Gloria Anselm in the middle.
Amazing.
What's that?
Kendrick Lamar, like one of my favorite songs is King Kunta.
Yes, and that's a great actually teaching song because it's got so many allusions in it. And anyway. Yeah. Yeah, Gloria Anzaldúa there in the middle. There's Bob Dylan, my man, and then Langston Hughes on the end there. So I will be a little Michelle Pfeiffer-y and throw some...
Michelle Pfeiffer right now. You've never been more Michelle Pfeiffer in your life. I swear to God.
Thanks.
Also, for our listeners, we haven't brought this up, but John is actually wearing a leather black catsuit. So he's going full Pfeiffer on this.
Yeah, full Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer as Catwoman. Man. Catman! Ooh, speaking of Catman... Do you still have cats? How old are they now?
I do. We have two cats. One's a Siamese. The other looks like a Siamese, but he's not. We don't really know. I know genetic heritage is important to you, Sam, so I'll just qualify. Only one of them is Siamese. So we don't need to talk about the other one if you don't want to. But the older one's 14 now.
Give Sam 5 minutes. She'll have traced his lineage back to, you know, a tribe.
I've decided whether he gets to live or die.
You guys are terrible.
you heard it here first. Shaming Nazis is terrible. Sam Jenny, right. 2023.
That's a quote. Who said that? That's a quotation.
Okay, it's fine. So you
no one pulled that out of context.
How old are they?
One is 14 now. He loves people. Wow. People love him because he acts like a dog.
Nice.
Which is kind of a slight to cat people. It's kind of the best combination of both. He is diabetic now, which is a bummer, but we've learned to manage it. My wife is now an expert at managing cat diabetes.
You check his T4 levels anytime lately?
I don't. She does, though. She checks all the time.
Yeah, check for hyperthyroidism. All cats. Right.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Yep. Yeah, good deal.
And she checks his blood sugar all the time.
That's
what I thought you meant, because I'm so ignorant. But
no, yeah, T4 is hyperthyroidism. That's what all cats, if they were to not have any issues whatsoever, all domesticated cats will die from hyperthyroidism at some point in time.
There you go.
And I just had one
all cats have hypothyroidism. Not all hypothyroidisms have cats.
True story. Sometimes they exist in adult human beings, and also giraffes.
and adult human being souls who may be trapped in small plastic. Yeah,
not yet.
It's an epidemic.
We'll see yep. who gets it. Who's going to get it? We started a new segment. It's called Spooky Stories with Sam, where he wears a not Ku Klux Klan looking robe.
It's a white sheet. It's a white sheet.
That makes me assume he does wear a Klan robe.
No, yeah, it has no hood. It has no hood. It's just a white sheet. He's a ghost.
So he's proud of it.
He became a ghost. Yeah, because the premise of every story is that Miley Cyrus bone tomahawks people.
What?
Like, I just make up the story as a go, but the end, it's always Miley Cyrus bone tomahawking someone. I'm sure Spoiler you know the alert. Reference, right? Do you know the reference? Yeah.
Should I play along? What's the reference?
Okay. So there is a movie called Bone Tomahawk where Kurt Russell stars in it. There's a lot of other famous people in it too, but basically,
you know that whole Kurt Russell and Miley Cyrus similarity. Yeah,
the famous connection.
Yeah, surprise it. Surprising.
So basically, there's this indigenous tribe that lives near this small western town. It's a western, you know, set in, like, I don't know, late 1800s. But there's an indigenous tribe that lives in caves. They are cannibalists, and they are, what is it? What's the other thing?
Inbred
cannibals. And so they basically, like, modify their bodies and all these things. They just, like, murder people and eat them. But the main thing they do is cut them right there with the tomahawk. All the way from head to groin. So wow. All of my spooky stories end with Miley Cyrus bone tomahawking someone.
That's good if you start with that knowledge, though, because then the suspense builds the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to happen.
When's Thank the tomahawk?
Of course.
He understands, Roman. See? He understands.
Okay, but just to fire back, Sam, we do know that the reason that the giraffe wasn't wearing a hood is because, have you ever tried to tailor a hood to a giraffe? It is insanely overpriced.
It's because of their antennae.
Yeah, we can't afford
it. It's because
that.
Of their neck, Sam. Yep. Their one defining feature.
They have crazy tongues too, right?
Yeah, they look like leeches. Large leeches. Yeah, it's really super, super weird. So I'm glad you're still playing music. I'm glad you're teaching. You would be the best teacher ever. I wish I could go back in time.
Explicit transition there.
Just such a great tangent.
Sorry, I know. I wish I could go back in time, though.
This would be an essay. This is where I would be, like, frantically scribbling on the page and, like, drawing it.
Sorry, Sam.
We can't let you finish that thought. Our sponsors will not let you finish the thought what you would do if you could travel back in time. I'm sorry. We have to shut this down.
That's why
it happened. Like, it happened, Sam. Your side lost.
If you were my teacher, you would have changed my life, and I'm really glad you're out there doing that for kids.
Oh, that's very
really
nice.
Cool. Yeah. So plans for the future? You're just gonna keep doing what you're doing. You keep running the educational department at South Central, and just keep going.
As long as they want me here, yeah. This was it's a trip. I think I was happier when I was. I've only done it 1 year. I think I was happier when I was just teaching all the time.
Rather than teaching
and doing some of these administrative duties, but I was, you know, kind of encouraged to serve.
You could, like, halfway retire and not have the administrative duties and just teach again.
Or maybe just find a teacher in the English department and inspire them to do all your administrative work.
Slater back of the chair move. Right. Dangerous minds.
And in the same way that Sam has imprisoned souls in inanimate objects, I can imprison another unsuspecting English teacher at this desk.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Hey, you know who one of the original office administrators was? Gandhi.
There you go. I'll start with that.
No elaboration.
Everybody loves
No elaboration. Gandhi. That's it. That's it. On that note, John, I want to thank you for your time. I know you have to get back to your daughter. So I had Lucy and Debbie for me, and Sophie. And your cats. I don't remember their names. What are their names again? This is important.
Fitzy and Pip. I don't know if I
Fitzy
gave
and
them.
Pip. All right. Hi,
and
Fitzy
just,
and Pip.
Just tell Debbie I said what's up.
Oh, what's come up, on, Debbie? Ronan. Come
Debbie
on, man.
Debbie and Deebs. Debbie and Deebs. Debbie and Deebs.
Debbie and Deebs. Okay. Solving Debbie crimes. And Deebs. Having Solving fun. And eating having fries.
It's their favorite food. I don't know. Thanks, John. You're the best.
Yeah. Thank you for asking me to do this. It was a blast.
Yeah.
It's good to see you
yeah.
again.
Great to meet you, John.
Yeah. Great to meet you, Ronan. And Josh.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
Josh. Stop recording. Stay on, John. So that was John Flanagan. Legendarily awesome person. Friend of mine.
Fantastic.
And amazing English teacher. And I am Sam Jenny.
I'm Walt Whitman. And this has been
Everyone's Weird and So Are You podcast. Go ahead and just maintain your abnormal state of being.
Keep it suitably weird, not to the point that our producer Josh Keach has done. Fun fact, Josh Keach has been thrown out of every hobby and craft store in Minneapolis for stroking the felt too much.
I heard that. That's crazy. So yeah, just
be weird, but don't be Josh Keach weird.
Yeah, just don't be Josh Keach weird. Can we change the name of the show to that, please?
Everyone's weird, but Josh takes it too far.
That's it. That was perfect.
Everyone's weird, but come on, Josh. Come on. Get a grip.
There's a line.
So I think that went well, right? You like John?
Yeah, that was a great interview. He had a lot of good things to say.
I told you he was brilliant.
He really is.
I knew he was the moment I met him. It was really cool going to school with him and getting to live underneath him, too. It was really fun. He's kind of like an Andrew Mim, you know, our season one episode. What was it, two?
I think it was episode two, yeah.
Yeah, where he has a lot to say because he's so intelligent. And a lot of people are going to be like, oh, I don't want to listen because he's so intelligent. But like if they actually listened, it's like good information to absorb. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of commitment to do 3 years as a music major and then just, I'm going to do English major now.
Yeah.
And then go
up and
full head on into that.
Everything he said too, I remember him saying to me when I was talking to him and catching up with him when I met him on Facebook again. I was like, yeah, dude, like, what's going on? I remember him telling me about the professor pulling him to the dark side. I remember him saying that he was going through, like, you know, 14 years of school to do what he's doing now. I remember him choosing to go to Omaha Central, which is, like, unheard of. It's really cool. He's just a really phenomenal person. I'm really glad that he's educating the minds of our youth because you really can't get any better than John.
Yeah, the youths are lucky to have him.
They are very lucky to have him. So we should do some editing now while it's fresh in our brains because I feel like this is going to be a really easy one to edit because there's not much to edit out other than Ronan calling me a Nazi a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, I mean, we got to cut that out for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
but other than that, there's very little that we need to do.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So let's get it done while it's fresh in our brains.
Let's do it. Team John Flanagan, go.
Break.
One, two, three, break.